We gotta go. We're going to sleep.
I know.
I chose mint tea instead of Earl Grey.
Oh, girl. When you mint tea instead of Earl Grey, you know what I'm saying?
You know you're going to sleep.
That face, you know you're going to sleep. That face when you mint tea instead of Earl Grey. I'm going to make a Star Trek joke, but you guys aren't going to get mint it.
Okay, here we go. Let's mint hear the Star tea, Trek joke. Right? What is it?
Make it so sleepy, you know? Make it so... Never mind. All right. It's from Star Trek The Next Generation.
I bet our audience is fucking dying right now.
They're like...
Wait, everybody shut up. We got to pause for the laughter to die down. That's happening right
the
now.
The Star Trek The Next Generation the world. Laughter. Star Trek Picard.
It's that specific?
If I eat this mic, is it too close?
Do you want to eat the mic or not?
For some reason, it feels comfortable.
Do
okay,
you want.
I'm gonna turn you down a little
no,
bit, though, if you're going to eat
no,
it.
No,
but you also want to drink that. Tea.
I do. Okay. I do. I'm going to be here.
That's perfect. Okay. I'm excited.
Right. I'm willing to fluctuate the levels if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Mix would be the word.
I think I'm
Chelsea,
allowed to say
don't,
fluctuate
Chelsea,
the levels.
Look, we don't go to your job and tell you how to graphic
exactly.
design, okay?
That's true.
Keller knows the words.
Yeah.
It's fluctuate. It's podcast lingo. You fluctuate it.
Yeah. Have you ever... you've done what? The podcast a couple times?
I can guarantee... It's a fluctuation.
Know.
I've never once mixed a darn thing. All we do is we fluctuate at the beginning.
We fluctuate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
We got the fluctuator.
Okay. That's what that's called. Mm-hmm. It's the flux fluctuator. Nice. The capacity is the high.
Fluctuator.
I don't know how much this thing
can
hold.
The capacity is fluctuate.
What is the capacity?
The capacity is... I don't want to jinx it because it might mess it up like I did that one time.
I shoved a banana peel in there and it did not help.
That's Back to the Future joke. That's from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Everybody... still listening, thank you, and welcome to the 500 Greatest Films podcast. My name is Hector Navarro. Sitting across from me is my good buddy, Mr. Keller Knobloch.
Oh
say
God.
Hi, Keller.
No. Hey, how's it going?
Keeping you on your toes, brother. Good,
yep,
man. How you
I'm
doing?
I'm right up here on my toes.
It's a little sleepy time because it's a little bit late, but...
Yeah, it's almost
that
9
just
o'clock.
That proves that we're old.
We're old?
It's almost 9.
It's almost 9? It is almost 9. It's 8:55 right now. We have a packed weekend, and we got a bunch of stuff we're doing, so we're like,
it's
can do this.
Jam-packed.
We can do this
guys,
on the weeknight.
Peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know why we can do this any night that we choose is because our guest tonight also happens to be our roommate.
Yeah. Second timers.
Yeah.
Our roommate.
Two timers club.
This is our roommate.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it at that.
That definitely made me smile really big, though. I've never heard it out loud.
It's true. We're all roommates. And most importantly, we're all friends.
We're all friends.
And most importantly to you, Keller, this is your girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But third level of that relationship is we are roommates.
Exactly. And
I
we are a family.
That's what I was
going
to say.
Oh, my God.
Say.
You guys are
going to
make me cry.
Hector, I got bad news.
I'm already.
It's really
bad
weird.
News, dude. You're my Marlin.
I'm already so emotionally.
I'm your
Nemo. I'm so emotionally raw from this. I could easily start crying thinking about how you are my family, both of you. You're the
how
family
I'm your
that
Nemo?
I choose. Yeah.
Thanks.
Dude, I would cross... the ocean for you.
Oh my God.
I would cross the ocean for you, Keller.
I would try to get out of a tank pretty aggressively.
Yeah.
Like I would go through a lot.
Stick a rock in a tube.
Uh-huh.
To get out.
I would
out.
Fake my death for you.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
I'd shit a lot in a fish
yeah.
tank. Just swim, to get
swim
back
in
to
it
you.
And swim in it.
Uh-huh.
This story would not work with humans. It would it only works with fish.
Chelsea Pine is on the podcast.
Chelsea Pine. Here's the real intro. Our guest tonight is all of those things we mentioned, yes, a very important person to us, but has also been a Disney fan her entire life, a Pixar fan since the beginning of Pixar, loves this movie with all of her beautiful heart. She's an incredibly talented graphic designer and artist, and she is gracing us with our presence tonight with her stuffed Dories.
Normally, she like will leave and come back right when it's bedtime.
Yeah.
We don't ever see her. And tonight she is gracing us with her presence.
We never hang out.
Exactly. We are not cool enough.
She brought her two stuffed Dories
but,
and her stuffed Nemo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who
She's
is,
got it all.
Guys, I keep nodding like they know. But
I know.
Yes.
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 Yes,
I did.
Chelsea Pine. Chelsea
Pine.
You were here last year on the podcast. Remind everybody what movie we watched last year.
I had the pleasure of introducing you both to Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yes,
oh,
and that was
yeah.
a great discussion.
It was.
Great discussion. One of your favorites.
It also
like,
sparked a discussion between my family. My
really?
Parents and I.
Because
yeah.
they listened to the podcast?
First my of all, mom came to visit, I think, yes. that week.
First of all, they're probably listening to this one. Hi, guys.
Yeah, hey, everybody. Hi, guys. I hope we weren't too. I hope we weren't too crass in the beginning.
Hi, Pines.
Hi, Pines. Shout
I
out
don't
to
remember
the Pines.
Anything I've
I
said.
I know, I'm freaking out. I'm like, did we say anything gross or inappropriate?
It started to bridge gaps, I think, or like start discussions.
Well,
with
I think
my mom,
that's a
different generation about how she saw it and was
totally.
Like, it is what it is. You have to accept it.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Yeah, same. But
we can talk
yeah.
about it.
I have used that movie and our conversation, like the episode we recorded last year, multiple times since when discussing like art that we love that still has issues with it. Mm-hmm. That it's like, look, we love this movie or we love this TV show. Or we love this, I don't know, album or whatever. There's like a hurtful thing in it and it might not hurt you personally, but it hurt or, you know, diminishes a person or a group of people.
Yeah.
And it's and I have used that as part of a conversation of like, it's a great example, Breakfast at Tiffany's, of a great movie with some great performances and like such a bummer thing that is in it.
That is completely unnecessary.
Right? Yeah.
And like,
and for some people that means that they don't love the movie anymore.
Sure.
But for me, I
Fair.
Still like it.
Sure.
And yeah. you can fast forward over those
you really
parts
can.
And not lose anything.
Yeah.
You know,
as far
really,
as plot
yeah,
goes,
really
you know how you know
it's
how
it's literally a comedic device.
Yes, and yeah, absolutely.
Only.
You guys, have you guys heard that like really insecure men have edited versions of like Avengers Endgame where they cut out Captain Marvel saving the day at the end, or they cut
really?
Out like
so they lose.
No,
so they make it so that they lose.
They insecure and racist and misogynistic men.
Hey, where'd
cut
that
out
spaceship go?
Yeah, it's like what. Oh, I thought they were getting fired, rained down upon them from Thanos. Ah, no, it's fine. It's fine. Rocket Raccoon looked up at the sky and went, yeah! And then nothing
and
happened.
Nothing happened.
They cut out Captain Marvel. They cut out Black Panther and like Wakandans because they're racist. And so they're like, we're going to get rid of all the black people in this movie. We're going to get rid of the brown people. There's a version that somebody
like how
edited
that...
and put that on the internet. And now what I'm saying to you is that's messed up. But I feel like how come nobody has taken the time
to do that
to Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, how come nobody's done that? That's a bummer. I mean, maybe it exists. I don't know. But if you
were... that's your new job.
It should be.
I want someone to just
job.
Like reshoot an upstairs neighbor.
Because
yes. all it does is just yes. cut upstairs.
Yes.
And just have a completely new person.
Cut to a really funny Asian actor who happens to be Asian. Either he has an accent or not. Doesn't matter. But
yeah.
just like being... like. Yeah, somebody.
Yeah,
yeah,
just a funny upstairs neighbor.
We also, I think, in the episode said it would be fine
yeah.
if it was just like, oh, he played himself.
Oh,
like,
totally.
A,
just Mickey. Just Mickey Rooney.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't
but
know
yeah,
why Mickey Rooney did that.
The reason I brought up that dumb Avengers example, Keller, is because you said like it has no bearing on the story of Breakfast at Tiffany's. That whole the character. Mm-hmm. And
but
I, and
if
it's
you
like,
get rid of Captain
yeah.
Marvel, like
what are you doing?
So then they lose.
Yeah. So who grabs?
What
the,
a bummer what, of a movie.
Yeah. So. Chelsea, you know we have got some traditions on the podcast. I cannot wait to hear your second pick later before the end of the
what
episode.
What could it possibly be?
What could it possibly be? You know what? I'm going to be real. I hadn't considered that the pick could be so obvious until, until you know, 30 minutes into
until
our
you
evening.
Saw what lays before you.
Until I saw what lays before me. The first tradition, let's get this out of the way, Keller, because there's a lot
there's a
to
Steph
discuss
Nemo on the table.
About this movie. There's a Steph Nemo right
okay,
here.
Okay, let's get into it.
Here we go.
Let's
what
fucking
movie?
Get into it.
Stuffy British guy, what movie
so
are we talking about?
Not
to,
Australian
huh?
accent, though.
Oh,
we're not switching it
no.
up. Sorry.
We'll never will. We can't ever switch it up.
I don't know.
No.
I don't know. I don't think
no.
we can. Because to me, this is not a knock on the wonderful people of Australia. To me, Finding Nemo is not an Australian movie.
Okay, okay.
Because Marlin has an American accent.
Right,
okay.
yes.
The kid has
and
an American
Pixar's
it's an imaginary world
Ellen
with
DeGeneres.
A lot of imaginary
yeah,
great
they
accents.
Cross,
yeah.
Where are they? Like, where is that reef?
I think it's a
great
barrier
reef.
Which
is it, though?
Yeah, it is.
Good point. Three leagues. It's got to be three leagues away.
How many leagues? How much is a league?
To
Let's
get
not
to the
Google it.
Bottom
Let's
of the
not
ocean, it's 20,000.
Okay,
oh. That's where the giant up. Squids are.
Oh, yeah. That's where the big old squids
the
are.
The giant squids are at 20,000 leagues.
I got to take my submarine down there with Captain Nemo.
Under the sea. How come nobody's made like a legit new remake of that?
What are you talking about?
20,000 leagues under the sea.
I've actually yeah. never seen it.
I've never seen it either.
I
did
seen
see.
It either.
They do have that ride at Tokyo
they
Disney
kept, They
sea.
Kept it there?
Really?
Yeah.
Because I think that's
well,
what Nemo replaced at
it was
Disney
a Nemo ride.
Or
so
what? There was
a,
was
yeah.
it a 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Yeah, I think
ride?
Right.
The submarine?
Submarine yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the one in Tokyo is the same, though.
Gotcha. No,
be.
I think it's different.
Yeah.
And I remember as a kid, because I think it's Jules Verne.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, I read and then watched the old 60s movie, Journey to the Center of the Earth. And I was like, that's dope. I think I saw it in school. They showed it to me in school, like in middle school or high school. And I was like,
stop motion
cool.
dinosaurs or something.
Yeah. I was like, this is cool. They should remake this. And then they did with the Brendan Rock Fraser and then The Rock. And Brendan they were Fraser. Both bad. And I was like, oh, that's not what I meant.
Because they weren't even Jules Verne.
That's right.
They were just like a Brendan Fraser vehicle.
Yeah, it could be a period piece or not, either way, but just like a legit, you know. But those were like,
you can make it modern,
movies.
But still.
Yes, make it modern, but it's got to be like H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds, Spielberg. That's modern.
Yeah.
You know, I liked it.
Yeah, me too. It was scary.
It was scary.
Scary movie.
It was a scary movie.
But I get the tradition. It's a British magazine.
Sure. I mean, for you, Chelsea, do you want to hear it in Australian?
No, it's
I'm
okay.
not doing it.
No.
Oh, Keller.
Not even for
what,
me.
Can't do it. What movie would...
Don't do that to me.
Do it.
Don't
do it.
That.
Do it.
No.
Yes.
No.
Good. Good.
What the fuck, dude? This has been 2 years in the making, trying to drive a spike.
The plan has worked. It's good, yes. Keller, what movie are we talking about tonight?
413... Finding Nemo.
He's making it extra British.
200.
200.
200.
Could have said ocean.
Start over.
2003.
And three.
Director Andrew Stanton. Pixar's fifth feature is remarkable for being both cute and at times surprisingly harsh. Also, it's time to reconsider Ellen DeGeneres' memory loss plagued story as one of the studio's finest creations.
It's time to reconsider? Meaning like praise it?
Yeah, I guess.
I would agree with that. In fact, so much so that like...
We're reconsidering it 10 years later. This is a double reconsider.
Double. Boom, boom. I really like Finding Dory. Let's get Finding Dory out of the way for a second.
Okay. Yeah, that movie didn't exist when this list came out.
Correct. Yeah, so we can really talk about the whole franchise as a whole if you want, because this is the only time Nemo appears. And we have to. And then you were also saying, Chelsea, there's a short. There's a Nemo short somewhere.
I said that. There is. There's an interview short that exists that...
What?
I just saw it.
It's like a Pixar short? There is not. I just Googled it.
When you were looking through it all.
What?
It.
What are you talking about?
What are the facts?
Guess we'll never know.
Ah, God. If only I had a computer in front of me or a tiny computer in my pocket. Okay. Sucks. Here's what's up with Finding Dory. I love it. I bought it. I bought both of these movies in 3D Blu-ray, and we'll talk about that later. But I love Finding Dory. I don't think it's as good as Nemo.
Neither do I.
I think we can agree on that, but that's okay.
We're all able to agree on that.
It has
emotion. It looks better.
It looks better.
I honestly haven't probably seen it since it came
theaters?
Out. Yeah.
Do you guys want to rewatch
you've watched it?
I do.
Again
right
with
after.
Me.
I'll wake up.
Let's do
you
it.
Watched it yeah. again with
when?
Me.
When?
I had never seen it.
Oh, and you guys watched it on DVD?
I have a really bad memory.
Dory over here. Regular Dory over here. Hey, just keep swimming.
Okay.
But Finding Dory...
I'm going to stop.
Really emotional...
I'm just kidding.
Right at the beginning, opening with the backstory of Dory and learning that her parents, her fish parents, taught her the song.
Yeah, what other parents would she
know.
Have?
Maybe she could have been raised by humans. I don't know what Pixar could have done.
Yeah. Well, Dory, you just need to keep swimming. It's me, a grown 75-year-old man. Yeah. All I have is my fish.
Oh, that's another sad story. Pixar should do that. Yeah, it's like Up combined with Finding Nemo.
He gets evicted.
Finding
and he has to
Carl.
Leave with his fish in a bowl.
Bow,
yeah, same thing. But anyway, so Pixar's done that. The parental, they've done like I feel like every emotional like relationship.
Any
way
that
they
can punch you in the
heart. Yes. So Finding Dory. Opened so emotionally with her backstory, her memory loss, her being the cutest version of herself.
Which we have
kid.
In a stuffed form.
Oh my God.
Look at
the
those
eyes.
The eyes are massive.
And the freckles. I love the freckles on her face. That's great. Yeah, it's like comparatively
she
to adult Dory.
Freckles.
Hell of a so fish.
Cute. Hell of a fish. But not as emotional. Really funny.
It is a natural blue.
Keller, like you said, like looks better, like the technology, the way that they animated.
Been 15 years or
God, something
crazy, something
like that. The way they animated the octopus, who was voiced by remind me of his name, the guy from Married with Children,
Modern Family,
Ed Bundy. What's the actor's name?
Craig T. Nelson.
No, that's The Incredibles. That's Coach.
Damn it, I am blanking so hard.
Ed O'Neill voices this octopus.
Yes.
So it's like it's on like technically on every technical level it is an achievement. It's wonderful. I still am going to put Nemo above it because I think the emotion is deeper and kind of richer.
But they both tell such interesting
stories. One is a like a road movie, because it's two characters on the road looking for somebody else, and the other one's like an escape from a jail type of a movie. It's like an escape film,
mm-hmm.
which is
I've never actually thought about that.
Yeah.
You actually are film analyzing this.
Yeah, whether or not it's accidental at this point.
Wait, do you listen to this podcast?
Yeah.
Wait, do you
Keller
listen
and I,
to our podcast?
We started this podcast by going,
Ocean's 11, good. Like it, funny, good, funny, good.
And we're going to end with, The Godfather is a modern masterpiece of cinematography. And
by the end, we're hoping to be smart. We're still in the 400s. Yeah. You can't expect much from us.
Exponentially better.
Getting better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was bad at Ocean's 11.
Double Life of Ronnie.
I couldn't even count to 11.
I know. This movie's good. they made actors say words. Good movie. That's how stupid we are. We're so dumb.
I can't even use a song.
I like the part with the fountain at the end.
I could never find Nemo.
Movie's an achievement. anyway, I feel like that's all I can remember and say about Finding Dory. Any other thoughts on Finding Dory, just to wrap up?
Again?
Yeah, I guess kind of forgettable, but also like I was 11 when I saw Finding Nemo, so I was trying to remember why like it's become my end-all be-all favorite film.
Let's get into it.
And I don't know why, besides we just kept reiterating.
Give us
it's
your
like,
overall thoughts.
It's so good. It's so funny. I almost know it word for word, except I mess it up all the time.
You had the subtitles this time to help
I
you,
did.
Though.
That was fun. It was like doing karaoke, but not because I hate karaoke.
We just muted it and she did all the voices.
Pretty good.
Pretty
Her
good.
Willem Dafoe is uncanny. It's so good.
Honestly, we pause it and we're like, can you just do some of the Last Temptation of
Christ,
please? Hopefully
I just do my fish eyebrow work. That's where it's at.
Great eyebrow. You were pointing out, what I loved is watching the movie with you, you kept pointing out like the eyebrow and like the
there's
emotion.
So much, there's
the expression.
So much expression. And
on all
I
the
mean,
fishes.
I'm not a character animator.
Because that doesn't exist. And you're not a character animator either. Yeah.
Or
hey, I'm not either
animator.
Either.
Yeah. But just like, I guess there's so much, there are so many ways to connect them, even though they are fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it is within those expressions. Like you were saying, Ellen DeGeneres, the way that she says home.
Yeah.
And the
when
way
I
that
see
they,
you,
yeah.
I'm home.
And it's not like it's motion capture by any means, but I'm sure that they probably look at human facial expressions to make sure that that matches up in a way and brings the emotion. And I don't know, that could be part of the reason. Also, the age I was at, like probably one of the first movies I remember vividly.
Wow.
After that, remember the first movie I went to by myself with my friend.
Wait. Let me guess. First of all, tell me what year it came out. Was it the same year, 2003?
No, I think I was...
2004?
It would have been the year after.
So 2004. Yeah. Went to go see a movie by yourself.
With a friend.
What came out in 2004?
We were in seventh grade. My mom dropped us off.
The Bourne Supremacy.
Bourne Supremacy. You guys went and saw The Bourne Supremacy.
Spider-Man 2.
3.
2 came out in 2004.
13-year-old white girl.
You guys saw an early screen.
Okay.
Star Wars. Sisterhood of Traveling Pants 2.
Oh... I think Keller's closest. 2004.
Princess Diaries 11.
What was it?
Winnie the Pooh's Heffalump movie.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh's Heffalump
movie. Oh, wait. I meant to say 3-year-old girl.
And the body of a 13-year-old girl. That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen that one. And I never saw the new Winnie the Pooh, the one that came out
the
in like...
The Christopher Robin one?
The 2011. No, not the live action Christopher Robin one. The last, as
Did
far
you
as
see
I know...
Christopher Robin?
I haven't seen it yet.
Dude, we fucking have it, man. Why don't
Let's
you watch
it? I'll watch it.
Let's go put it on.
Let's
Turn
do
this
it.
Off.
I kind of want to see Finding Dory first, but
Just
I do
kidding.
Want to see
Let's
that.
Finding, you've
but
seen Finding Dory.
I have, but I want to rewatch it now because I'm in Nemo mode.
Man,
but the last
should be in 3D.
Hand-drawn Disney film, the last one was Winnie the Pooh,
Home
just
on
called
the
Winnie
range.
The Pooh. Not Home on the Range. That was like 2003 or 4. This is
I don't even know
Winnie
that,
the Pooh came out in like, I feel like it came out like
is
2011.
Is it the one where Christopher Robin goes to school? Where he goes to school?
Maybe.
I remember that one.
I'm going to look it up because it was like that came out and then the year after it was like Wreck-It Ralph and we're never looking back.
Wow. That's a big jump.
What about the frog one?
Princess and the Frog?
Yeah. And is that hand drawn?
That might actually be, yeah.
Yes,
I think I met one of the artists at D23.
Winnie the Pooh came out after that.
Did it?
Yeah.
Whoa.
2011, I told y'all.
Dude, you were so right. I'm so sorry for speaking against you.
If you don't know, Hector is an encyclopedia.
Because Princess and the Frog.
And by an encyclopedia, we mean that he is holding up his phone and Googling it right now.
It was 2009. Was 2009.
Whoa.
You were right. I'm sorry to have contradicted you.
Because then it became, if 2011 was Winnie the Pooh, 2012 was Wreck-It Ralph, 2013 Frozen, and then we're off to the races. Like, and they never look back, and that's it. And that's
it. Who's competing in these races? All of those.
Mm-hmm.
Who's competing in these races?
DreamWorks, Sony Pictures Animation.
That's not even a race anymore.
Oh. Who's winning? Who's winning?
Pixar, for various reasons, but not...
DreamWorks is right behind? Yeah. Or do we put Disney right behind?
I consider DreamWorks and Disney the same. They're like on the same team.
DreamWorks and Disney.
Pixar.
I mean, Pixar and Disney, yeah.
You don't consider that... You don't think there's a bit of a competition between
the
two?
I'm sure there is, but I'm not...
You have to.
I think that once Disney bought Pixar, there's like a...
There's crossover.
Yeah. Because it feels like some of the Pixar movies lost a little bit of the emotion, but then the Disney movies found it. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. It just kind of feels all like one now.
But I want to go back to, Chelsea, you were saying before we started that like everybody in your family knows Finding Nemo is your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were talking to you and they're like, do you know what you're going to say on the podcast? Are you ready for the podcast?
Nobody's ever asked me that about this podcast.
And you were, of course, like, no, it's like a very low... maintenance, no big deal thing, casual conversation. And then they said, well, are you going to finally reveal why Finding Nemo is your favorite?
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys were trying to figure
it
out.
And I was stumped. I don't know myself. I think I'm just still finding out
And that's
who
what
I am.
This is going to be. Chelsea.
Guys,
Chelsea
I found Pine. New therapist.
Chelsea.
Oh,
this
God.
Is your life. Your new therapists are Albert Brooks, Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, God.
Hector Navarro.
Hector Navarro.
And Keller Knobloch.
And Willem Dafoe.
Just kidding. I got too much skin in the game.
Brad Garrett. Yeah, you got too much skin in that game. We
don't
can't.
Say that.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
kind of
weird.
Weird.
I don't get what it means.
Take it back. Whatever. It's out there. We're not going to edit this. We never mix it. All we ever do is.
We only fluctuate.
Fluctuate. That's it. Fluctuate between on point film analysis and bad.
Fluctuation.
Fluctuation. That's right.
Yeah.
Bad tangents that are inappropriate. And no, but you know what?
What's inappropriate?
Right before you just started filming, we started recording, 2 seconds before, we were walking over and you said, it might be because I have a good relationship with my dad. Like,
yeah,
I love my dad.
If you dig deep,
mm-hmm.
and I think maybe that's what he was pushing for. I don't know.
Oh,
my dad, who is one of the most wonderful humans on this planet, besides Keller.
He's so great. Shout out to Chelsea's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Dad.
was like, is it because it's a story of like, oh, like you can do anything? Mm. And I was like, oh, well.
And you're like,
no.
Yeah.
But then I thought about it after we finished and I was like, yeah, I mean, I was 11 at the time it came out.
Yeah.
I was in sixth grade. I don't remember if I saw it in the theater, if I saw it at home. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I do know that like, always been a daddy's girl.
But were you trying to break away?
Yeah.
In any way.
Not to get too real.
Like at 11, that is when
that
happens.
Yeah.
And like, I am an only child. So mm-hmm. There's a closeness with my dad that I see reflected there. Like I was saying, there's so much emotion within it.
You live in a scene.
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. I brush every day.
And especially at the end, a moment that I loved is that, and I think it was earned, is like the movie starts with getting to a point where Nemo says to his dad, I hate you,
mm-hmm.
like under his breath, that thing. And Keller, you said that's one of like three weapons a kid has.
Yeah.
You know,
that's it.
That's an effective.
And that's like the big one. That's the big one.
Yes. That's a big one. I feel like the first
short
time,
of like running away.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like the first time a parent hears that too, or like the first time a kid says that, it's like, whoa, like. Because that one, that phrase especially.
It's like, don't fuck with me, dude.
Yeah. Hey, eat shit. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Shouldn't have started shit. Shouldn't have been talking shit. I remember telling my dad, shouldn't have been talking shit. Telling my mom, shouldn't have been talking shit. Step off.
I hate you. Shouldn't have been talking shit.
Shouldn't have been talking shit. Hey, mom, I hate you. Shouldn't have been talking shit.
Hurts, donut.
Yeah. But like, because the phrase is so, it's almost like a childlike phrase even. I hate you. Adults don't process our emotions like that. Mm-hmm. Adults might even be feeling something as raw as that, but we'll communicate to each other differently,
mm-hmm.
or we'll do things differently.
Or
our,
you know the subtleties.
We know
then.
The subtleties.
I'm so frustrated.
With you. Yes, yes. Kids are not subtle.
Yeah.
And that comes out, and it's just this pure emotional. I hate you, and it's this little kid thing. To then at the end of the movie, after they've gone through everything, and Nemo has like learned independence. He's learned from the adult fish who is like him, disabled like him, with the fin, Gil, great character and a great story point. He's learned how to be independent. At the end, he tells his dad, I can do this. You know I can. And he's like trying to tell him, we need to get these fish to move down. That's how we're going to save. This is the only way to save Dory. Stop arguing with me. No time.
Which is a callback to something Nemo learned earlier apart from his father.
Yes. Yes. And then his dad says, you're right. I believe you can do this. And Marlin like, let's go. And then the whole thing inside the whale, we'll talk about that. The whole other thing was just, all of it is just about Marlin letting go. Which
now
is
that we're
so,
talking about it, I see the entire film like folded in on itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what I like a lot in films. I don't know. I can't pinpoint right
There's
now
so
other
many
films
good
that
callbacks.
Like
yes.
have that
when they do it right. It's
thread,
awesome. When films try and they stumble with that,
this
it's,
isn't
I'm
beat
like,
you over the head with
right,
it.
Right, right. Nothing.
Well, it's
is,
a little bit like. At the very beginning, it's like, how old is a sea turtle? It's like, it's a bit.
I like that.
Well, listen,
right
I
now.
Do
I
too.
I didn't notice that as a kid.
But it's
know,
like just listing
like, oh God,
off the...
The what's going to happen.
Yeah. What's going to happen.
I'll never meet a shark. I'll never meet a sea turtle.
But it's a
yeah.
kid's movie, so a yes. kid's like...
but the,
they love
but,
that they can make that realization.
Whereas,
I don't think kids make that realization.
I mean,
I made
think,
it when I was
I think
a kid.
That kids...
Oh, well, then I'm really dumb.
But also, I watched this movie a bunch of times.
That's true. That's one of those treats of the second viewing, I'm sure, that when you see Marlin again at the beginning go talk about how he's never yeah. met a shark, he's never, you know, you go oh, he's gonna meet one,
yeah,
and that's part of the joy. But like all of the emotion that's happening, I think is stuff for like the adult viewer to all those themes to really pick up on.
Guys, we keep saying the word emotion, which is yeah. like I think my core
it
my
is
core is emotion,
yeah,
it is.
I mean, everyone
favorite
is, but
one
like,
is Inside Out,
yeah,
yeah,
that but makes that
is it
makes
though?
A lot of
or is
sense.
Monsters Inc. your second favorite?
Are we about to do a Pixar ranking?
Wow.
We gotta do a Pixar
whoa,
whoa. Ranking.
First of
we
all,
gotta
wait,
do. Wait, wait, wait,
we're gonna do round
where,
robin.
We need to finish this thought. We need to finish
okay.
this thought.
Okay, we gotta finish. Let's wrap up.
We will.
Nemo
and Nemo. Get to this Pixar.
Let's
so
wrap
much
up
to talk
Nemo.
About. Here's the deal. To go back to what Chelsea was saying, at the end of the movie, when they like after the adventure, they go back to their home, mm-hmm. and Marlin is now waking up Nemo. Time for school. And Marlin's excited to take him to school. And Marlin says, go on an adventure. And then as Nemo and the kids are swimming away on the school bus, man to man, they stop because Nemo goes, wait, wait, I forgot something. And goes back and hugs his dad. And it's like, that was earned. That's not a forced, mm-hmm. the kid loves his parental figure, even though they fought in the beginning.
They both almost lost each other
yes.
forever.
Yeah.
they both
so
almost lost each other.
It's so that like, I can imagine seeing this as an 11-year-old. Because it's like one of two things will have happened. When you're 11 and you mention you're an only child, you have a great relationship with your parents and mm-hmm. your dad, it's either they might be a little overprotective, in which case Finding Nemo works for you. It hits and you're like, holy God. And even if they're not, if they're the opposite of overprotective.
As an 11-year-old, you're like, holy God.
Oh, dear Lord. I'm 11. But if you watch this movie as a kid and you feel like your parents are not overprotective, I think that because I've sometimes felt like this too. My parents are amazing. It's like they would go back and forth between being
they're
overprotective and sometimes like, hey, you guys aren't caring about me enough. Like, hey, you got, you
I
know,
need,
not full on.
Attention.
Yes, not full on neglectful, but like, hey, I need some guidance. I need some, you know, what's happening with me. I need some help. This is what's happening in my life, blah, 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 blah. So if you feel that, this movie hits in a big way too because it's like you going out into the world. And you feel like you might be kind of on your own, and it's that at that right age. Now you might not be 4 years old or however old Nemo's supposed
but you're like
to be.
Hitting
six.
Middle school right
six.
Then.
Right.
If anyone
right.
ever
so
questions
like,
how old
he's six.
Nemo is.
First day
he's
of school.
Six.
First grade? He skipped kinder? He would skip kinder.
Fish schools,
he would skip kinder.
Marlin would have kept him home.
He's like, we'll stay home another year.
It definitely
mm-hmm. he's already tried
like a one room classroom.
Seems.
So yeah. it could be
the classroom is just also the bus. Like it's just him driving around the whole time, like, look at that, kids. All right, anyway, get off my back.
Is it Miss Frizzle?
Yes. Right on the magic school bus. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that manta ray uh-huh. is a school bus. I think the school bus turns into a manta ray in the show.
Oh, that's where they got the idea.
Yeah.
I love figuring out where Pixar gets all their ideas from.
Exactly. They rip
just
off
like
PBS.
How, just like how...
The Good Dinosaur? Dragon Tales.
Dragon Tales. or just
my
how like...
second favorite PBS
or,
show.
Yeah.
Good Dinosaur? Barney.
Yeah, Barney.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. He's
point,
the, he was the original. He's the OG Good Dinosaur.
OG Good Dinosaur.
exactly.
Just kidding.
Like
Littlefoot. Littlefoot for life.
Littlefoot. Coco? You know where they got that idea? PB&J Otter.
PB&J Otter.
Get out of my face. I'm kidding. Get out of here. That's not at all true. But I do have a theory that J.K. Rowling watched the movie Labyrinth in the 80s and heard a
name. There should be labyrinths.
Stored it away. And then when she was writing her book in the 90s, she took Hogwarts and made it Hogwarts School of Witchcraft.
That's a thing, isn't it?
I've never seen Labyrinth.
Hogwart is the name of a character in... He's a little, like, dude that's next to Jennifer Connelly.
Dude, you
right?
just...
Abby, is that right? Is that character's name Hogwart?
Guys, a little peek behind the curtain. Abby's behind me.
I'm going to look it up because I feel like an idiot. Whatever. We should definitely do...
Heck, you just ruined my childhood.
Labyrinth. We'll never spell it correctly. Rent. I will never spell it correctly.
Type in Hogwart origin.
Guys, you can keep talking. Right, Chelsea, please. First of all, really quickly.
It was less than 15
It doesn't
seconds.
Matter. It, nobody's listening.
It was less than 30 seconds.
Chelsea, please, can you tell us about the...
What were we talking about?
Finding Nemo.
Hoggle. Not Hogwart. It was Hoggle.
Oh, so
come on, man.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry, J.K. Rowling.
Sorry, J.K.
We'll apologize to you for this.
I didn't mean it, J.K.
Specifically.
Yeah. That's it.
That alone.
Uh-huh. That little write-up you made about the Brazilian school? Kind of racist. All right, listen.
Yikes.
Chelsea, two things. Overall thoughts on Finding Nemo now. Did you pick up on anything new while watching it tonight? Second thing, talk about the 3D, because we actually watched a movie in 3D
Is
tonight.
Is this our first one?
No, Top Gun.
Top Gun.
We did Top Gun. But I feel like...
But that wasn't great.
That was real bad.
Yes, it was bad.
The 3D is incredible.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
It is. Just
go.
Overall thoughts.
Okay, overall thoughts. Every time I rewatch it, I think my love grows. I have obviously a lot of nostalgia wrapped into it. And full disclosure, I'm a 27-year-old woman who still sleeps with a stuffed animal that I got when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
But there's
it's a fish.
That's
his
normal.
Name's Nemo.
Yeah, it's Nemo. Yeah.
But like, there's so many.
I also sleep with the fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird relationship. There's so many times over the years, I think, that I've kept rewatching it that there's more nostalgia built into it because I'm gonna get sappy.
Please,
here it is.
One of our, I think it was our third date. I don't know. You're not gonna remember now. You're
I
like
don't
the
know.
One with really. You're the real. You're the really good. You're the one.
You're the Marlin.
You're and the one you. With such a good memory.
And she's obviously
I'm
the Dory.
The Dory.
Yeah.
But okay, so one of the first couple of dates we had, the first time I came over to your guys' apartment,
we watched this in 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Because you hadn't seen 3D on the TV before.
Nope.
And you hadn't met Hector before.
Yep.
And Hector's like, hey, my name's Hector. I have a 3D TV.
Dude, I totally said that. I probably
Hi, my
did.
Name's Hector. I have a 3D TV.
I think I opened with, I have a 3D TV. I'm Hector, by the way. Welcome. Nice
yeah,
to
yeah,
meet
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Halfway through the movie, he paused it. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry for not introducing myself.
I'm pretty sure you came home halfway through the movie.
Probably,
and we're like, oh
probably.
My God, you're watching it. How exciting.
I was
so,
so
glad.
Happy.
I'm so happy for you to
because
have this experience.
I told Hector
mm-hmm.
that you loved
Nemo.
It probably started with Love Disney.
Yeah.
And then
I was like, awesome.
What's her favorite one? And then Nemo's like, you got it in the 3D.
Yes.
You got it in the 3D. Oh, you should, dude, you got it in the 3D.
If there are any skeptics out there, it is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So it's just the depth. And specifically in Nemo, you can notice... Yeah, you can notice so much detail in the art. Like, oh, that was something I noticed this time around that mm-hmm. I didn't know, but it's also like super small and minor. But the attention to detail in the art itself, like when Darla's tapping on the glass, you can see three different fingerprints appear
what?
On the different spots
of
that
course,
she taps.
Of course, because she's not
she's
hitting
like,
the
yeah,
same
exactly.
exact spot.
And
wow.
you see each little line.
That's
so that
crazy.
Was crazy. And the specs, just every time the specs
especially
are so
for,
cool.
we forget, 2003.
And yeah, and I was
it,
asking you like
it
as
for
in,
me, 98% of it held up in terms
oh, yeah.
of like the,
I turned
the CG.
To you, I said, is this a perfect
yeah.
movie? Also, when they're in the whale and the water's going back and forth,
the
yes,
specs.
Just this, you just, all you see is the specks going back and forth while
they,
they're talking,
and they like
right.
they like
it's
hover
so
in midair, pause,
good.
And then
yeah.
swish with the breathing of the whale.
This is also a testament to the like medium of animation, and kind of goes to Spider-Verse as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking about how they want to create something that you can create in art, but you can't physically do it in animation yet. So they have to create the code and the software to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So not only does Pixar like become the trailblazer, but like there are so many incredibly crazy artistic things that you can do now. And Spider-Verse is also like the epitome of that.
Yeah.
And hearing the creative directors and the art directors and the artists and the character designers all talk about it and how it, like, there's just so many layers and it's so mm-hmm. overwhelming and cool. But as an artist and designer, you don't really think about the like technicalness, I guess. Mm-hmm.
It's invisible. It's the art. It's the part of the art that's invisible, totally. And it's,
then you're an artist going to a programmer, being like, "This is what I want to do. Now make it happen." Mm-hmm. And it's super, super intangible.
It's like, mm-hmm. I guess I'll invent something.
Yeah. How my brain literally can't wrap around program.
Like you were saying that the program that they used, that they created for Sully's hair, they used for the. Anytime
the enemas
Chelsea is trying to get somebody to laugh for like a picture or smile or something, she'll go straight into the sea cucumber.
And so the sea cucumber walks up to a mollusk. Well, I mean, he doesn't really walk. I mean, and then I trail out. I don't remember anything else after that.
And like we were saying, as an adult, Marlon's humor is actually really funny. He's like accidentally funny.
It's like,
because like, whoa, look who's out of the anemone. And he goes, shocking, I know. And we're like, ah.
That's super funny.
It's so funny.
And then later he's like, pony boy.
Yeah, to the seahorse.
Yeah.
And he's like, pony boy. And then the other one's, you know, for a clownfish, he's not that funny. Like, they're so
good. The writing is impeccable.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes. All of the side characters they meet on the way, we have to talk about Crush. He's a highlight, voiced by Andrew Stanton, the director of the film. I mean,
oh, that's something I learned this time around.
Yes, yes. It's there are, and that's the same as like Brad Bird voicing Edna Mode, because it's like, I think they do the scratch track. I think they do the, I want a character to sound like this.
And then they
just never, they just never find somebody to come and, you know, to do it that perfect. But yeah, all the side characters are great. The pelican, all the aquarium fish.
Jeffrey Rush, you mean?
Jeffrey Rush, the pelican, doing like an Australian. Like, is Jeffrey Rush Australian? Well, there you go. He's a good actor. What? He can do it.
Mm-hmm. I never knew that.
Casanova Frankenstein himself.
He's even Australian in The King's Speech.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anything about The King's Speech other than I saw it and I thought it was good.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. It's like the music's great. That's all I'll listen to the music now.
Cool. Very cool. My overall thoughts are, yes, I love this. I love this film. Kind of with all my heart.
99% on Rotten Tomatoes is what I saw.
For Pixar,
whoever asshole took it down.
Yeah, I think it should be 100.
I agree. It should be 100 because other Pixar movies have also been like 100. They've achieved 100.
Really?
And here's what I love about the best of Pixar. I think everybody can kind of agree there's like sort of three tiers. There's sort of bottom of the barrel, middle of the road, and then like top tier Pixar.
Let's talk about this run of Pixar movies.
Toy Story in 1995.
Yeah.
Changes
classic
the game.
Forever.
2 years later. 3 years later.
Bug's Life.
Bug's Life, 1998. Solid.
Solid.
People don't talk enough about it. It's very, again, not the strongest emotion, but it is just solid animated film.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Boo Kevin Spacey.
Very funny. Boo Kevin Spacey.
Yes. Boo John Lasseter.
Boo John Lasseter. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. Boo John Lasseter.
A year
came
after
up
that.
On the screen and
a year.
Heartily.
Here's a crazy one. A year after that. Was originally going to be a direct-to-video movie until Pixar and Disney like stopped it. Pixar rewrote this movie consistently just to make one of the, down to like the last possible second, one of the greatest sequels of all time, Toy Story 2 in 1999.
And
those are their first three.
And that was also co-written by Andrew Stanton?
I believe it was. And again, at this point, Andrew Stanton, I think Nemo may have been the first he directed, but like was part of the, yes, from like the beginning.
Which is how they've been doing it for years.
They'll build up. This is what's so smart about Pixar.
We saw Lee Unkrich's name in this movie.
Co-director of Coco. He just recently left Pixar after like 20 years there. And that's what here's what I love about Pixar is that they have from the beginning built up certain like animators and directors and producers and stuff there. They built them up as opposed to just like hiring from outside. Like they, you know, and
believing in them and
absolutely
helping them develop.
And, you know, they'll go on to, because I think Lee also did Toy Story 3 from being part of the story team and everything from Lee Unkrich, you know, from all
however,
that stuff.
However, I will say there
everything.
Were like three female names.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of dudes.
Totally. It's, you know, animation's still a boys club. And there's also maybe some gender neutral names. And I was like, that could be a woman. But really, it's like Slim Pickens in the credits of this. You know, a lot of producers, a lot of coordinators, you know, a lot of lighting. So the person who worked in lighting that I think it was. People. Yeah, I think it was Daniel Feinberg, I think is her name, who is like has been the Pixar like lighting expert. Mm-hmm. And her work is phenomenal. And she's like
ocean lighting.
All the way, yeah.
Damn, yes. Fucking crazy.
For mood, for anyway.
I will also always have a place for Good Dinosaur because when I was in college, my roommate's sister was working on that film and I felt like I was in such an in crowd when she was able to tell us, like, my sister's working. She's like doing, I can't remember if she was lighting or background, like assistant.
Is there a dinosaur in it?
He's good. Cool. She was working on it then and I was like, oh my God.
This is a good dinosaur.
So those first three, Toy Story, A Bug's Life, Toy Story 2, then a few years after that, 2001, Monsters, Inc.
Oh my God.
Their fourth one. And any of these...
Which changes the game.
Okay, listen. So far up to this point...
game changers.
Except for A Bug's Life, I say Toy Story 1, Toy Story 2, and Monsters, Inc., you could argue each of those could be their best movie at this point. You could argue that. Yeah. Then their fifth movie, Finding Nemo. You could argue that this is their best movie up to this point. And still to this day, with top-tier Pixar, whether it's, I think, the Toy Story movies pretty much across the board, Incredibles, I'm putting Coco in there, I'm putting Nemo in there, Monsters, Inc.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
I'm putting... it's really yes, because hard. Here's the deal. Up and WALL-E, like half of those movies each. Do you know what I'm saying?
And Ratatouille.
Like, Ratatouille, you could make that argument. Not my fave, but each of those top-tier, it's like... It's just like a lot of the MCU movies.
I'm saying, like, but like Ratatouille's, I'd put Ratatouille underneath those.
Yes, yes, yes. It's up there. Yeah. It's up there. And then you have middle of the road. You've got stuff like the first Cars movie.
And it's still crazy that Toy Stories 3 and 4 are in the top tier.
They're good. That's crazy.
I didn't love 4, but it was very, very good.
Yeah, I agree. I would put Incredibles 2 up there. I know a lot of people don't think so.
Why not?
Incredibles 2 is phenomenal. But
it was so cool.
I think I liked that better
than the first one.
I did too. Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah.
So
that's the official stance of this podcast. Yeah. We're going to go insane. Incredibles 2, fucking awesome. Better than the first.
So we should probably each of us do a ranking and then get to Chelsea's pick.
I was
going to
say, you should, this is, we're going round robin on the from the bottom.
Yeah.
We did our ranking when we were all at Disneyland that one time.
Oh,
we did the Disney Madness
brackets. I don't think I ever ended up doing it. You yelled at me that entire day at Disneyland.
We did it as a team.
Yeah, we would like, okay, here's the first matchup. And then we would like argue it out.
Oh, and then we'd I think I have a video of you guys rock, paper, scissoring for the final one.
It's so weird because that thing always comes down to like, okay, the Apple Dumpling Gang versus... Cars 2. How did this happen? Like it's all the amazing ones are like.
And then you're picking the Apple Dumpling Game. Obviously.
Aladdin got knocked out round one. What's happening? What's happening?
That should never happen.
Little Mermaid got knocked out round one. Why?
Did Aladdin win for us? Or was
I think Aladdin
game?
Did. Might.
Yeah. Probably. Win. Probably. It's tough, man.
It's tough, it's man.
Because really nostalgia kicks in, and it's like some of those ones.
Nostalgia would be top. Yes. To our Finding Nemo and Monsters Inc. Mm-hmm. But like, okay. Coco and Inside Out, like.
Yeah, we forgot on Inside Out. I'd put in the top.
Yeah, me
top
too.
Top tier.
Me too. I feel like there's maybe a.
There's three tiers.
I don't know if there's three tiers because I think there might only be like 3 to 5 that are just bottom. Like.
Yeah, that's the third tier.
Well, but there's no middle.
Middle. What? Bug's Life.
Bug's Life
Bug's
is
Life
the middle.
Is middle.
Okay.
Bug's Life is the middle. Cars 3 is in the middle.
Sure.
Oh.
I put Cars in the middle. The first Cars in the middle.
Finding Dory, I'd put in the middle.
Finding Dory
is in the
middle.
It's like top of the middle, but not quite the top tier.
Brave is in the middle.
Oh, mm-hmm. I do. It's really hard for me to rank them, though. I like them all.
Okay, Keller, we're not ranking.
Give us a shot here. I just handed him my phone that has the list of Pixar movies.
Do you want me to
Wikipedia.
Give you my ranking, and then that's going to be the official ranking?
No, I never said that.
All right, that's exactly what we're going to do.
Fuck. All right,
the official ranking is going to be
first
at
of all
the very bottom.
Okay, start there.
We have Cars 2.
Yeah. Yep. And I haven't even seen Cars 3 yet, but I feel like
Cars 3 is great.
Cars 2 is spies, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's with Cars 3?
Michael Caine is an Aston Martin.
Oh, yeah, yes. I'm an Aston Martin.
I love it. I just love Cars, though. We just finished watching the Formula One documentary series.
You mean like you love actual cars in real life?
Yes. But I also do love Cars.
The Pixar car. Have you seen any of the Planes spinoffs?
No, I have not. Because that's Disney.
Voiced by
Dane
Cook.
Pixar.
Dane Cook.
Ugh.
Second from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. This is where it immediately starts to get tough.
Yeah.
It immediately starts to get tough.
I might put Good Dinosaur down
I think I'm going to put Good Dinosaur next. And then
still a fine movie.
Next time,
watch it.
My battle is going to be Brave and Monsters University.
Sure. I would put Brave below, and then I'd put Monsters University. But now Here's I'm a psychopath, because I'm already starting to put Ratatouille below Monsters University. A psychopath.
You can't do that.
Fine.
You can't do that.
Fine. I could do whatever I want, but go ahead.
No, talking about how this is the official ranking of this podcast.
If you don't put Coco at number one with a bullet, I'm moving out. That's where I'm at.
In the podcast?
I will unplug this shit right now.
You will end the podcast?
I'm gone.
Wait, are you going to continue the podcast without me?
Yeah.
You're going to continue the podcast without me?
Yeah.
Who are you going to get instead?
Wait, I have something out on the street? It's my bunk bed. Yeah, our bunk bed. That's right, Keller.
Yeah,
no more bunks.
Our bunk bed.
We sleep in bunk beds, Keller.
Yeah, sometimes Abby and Chelsea get mad at us. We have to go to our bunk bed.
We got
to
go to bunk beds. Oh, are they mad right now? They get mad when we bring it up. You guys are mad. We should probably bunk there tonight.
Got to get in the bunk.
Finish up this ranking, brother.
Let's go to the bunker.
Oh, that's what it's called, the bunker.
It's called
so
the bunker.
Cool. That's so cool.
I got to paint some camo on the walls.
Oh, my God, yes.
Duck and cover. Atom bombs.
We're the boys. They're
in
the bunker.
Did you crack your phone already?
That's been cracked.
Okay, and then I'm putting Cars?
Yes.
Three.
So that means Cars 3 at the bottom. So that means you're putting Cars 1 over
Cars 3.
No one told me what the plot of Cars 3 was.
It is a Mexican woman takes over for Lightning McQueen.
And Lightning McQueen trains it. It's essentially Rocky
what?
4.
Yes. Yeah, a car.
Rocky 5.
A female car that is like a Latina.
I really did not know this.
Car.
We're
going to
put
yeah.
it on as soon as I, yeah. this is over, and we'll I'm excited it. About it.
God, okay. Watching one Pixar movie makes me love and want to watch all the Pixar
movies. We
want to
watch. Yeah. Oh, my God. We just did a Toy Story marathon for all those movies.
Yep. Yep.
And
this is going to be a 3-hour podcast.
I watched every episode of Buzz Lightyear Star Command.
You did.
There's like
I used to watch it as
episodes.
A child because
yeah.
I had three channels. And I was like, well, this is what's happening.
I also love
this and Arthur.
I also love the 3D in Finding Nemo. The 3D is phenomenal. It is.
So
there's
good.
Moments that is breathtaking. You know what was great is when it cuts to the plan that Gil is describing, and he's like, "We're gonna get in these bags.
Oh yeah.
Then we're gonna, you know, muscle our way out into the street. And they put you in a little plastic
Your Willem
bag.
Dafoe's amazing.
It's really good. Can Spider-Man come out to play? Finish it. You know, I'm something of a scientist myself. I can't do it.
That's a meme.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, just okay. I think because you were saying that the 3D was done after, it wasn't done in
correct. The
like,
movie
release.
Was released normally. Then
and
some
that's
point,
a testament to the
mm-hmm,
art.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking crazy.
And the team that can go in and the way that they'll
right,
redo
right.
a Pixar film.
But like
is
we,
that?
I mean, I guess it's CG, but like watching
yes.
The Lion King isn't.
No,
fun.
Because that one is a full-on conversion job.
Yeah.
Finding Nemo is a little bit different. Finding Nemo and any other Pixar movies that they put back into 3D, like the first two Toy Stories, and I think the first Monsters, Inc., and I think that that's it. Because by that point, Up and Beyond had come out in 3D, like Up and WALL-E and whatever else, is that they'll go back, and because Pixar is good about saving every single one of their files for all their movies dating all the
that's
way back
crazy.
To the 90s, they'll add a second camera in the program. And then render it out again. So then with two cameras, that's how they create the stereoscopic 3D because you need two eyeballs to see 3D versus the one camera that the digital, the fake program camera that was their angle of their shot. So they would re-render everything, do everything basically again, except there are people that specialize in doing the settings of the cameras mm-hmm. to make sure that it does, it's not whoa crazy 3D, that it's comfortable,
right, like
that it fits the storytelling.
For some scenes, you can take them off and you can see it's not really.
Correct. For some, it's very sort of shallow 3D because they're not trying to push it. And for others, they really push it for the emotion, whatever the storytelling. I worked on the 3D conversion of the first three Shrek movies because DreamWorks did not have that capability.
Wow.
DreamWorks, when the fourth Shrek movie
for
came
release?
Out, Shrek Forever After in 2011, went back and wanted to do the first three Shreks in 3D. They did not have the files. They did not have the, they're like it's not within our budget to go in and do that. We don't like they it's in the wind whatever. So like they needed a company to come in and just take their flat movie Shreks and put them into 3D using our
that's
proprietary
what you had
software.
To do?
That's
you
what
had
we
to
did.
Take a flat file and make
yeah.
holy
oh, that's
shit.
What I did for 4 years.
The Shrek saga.
Yeah.
Not just Shrek,
I
but also
that,
live
but
action
like,
movies.
I didn't know
and,
that you had to take a flat
yes,
compressed
that's
file.
How we did it. Avengers, everything. Star Trek, every 3D movie I worked on, that's how I did it.
I've never, like, done it. This is just
You
crazy.
Just gotta watch that little
No, I know, but thinking about
Jurassic
animation,
mm-hmm.
just thinking about animation and the technicalness behind it and the artisticness, it's just blowing my mind.
It's fascinating. I love it.
It's
I love
crazy.
It. But it is like for the people that did, and they credited them at the end of our movie, is like a little stereoscopic team, because they go in there and they made sure that everything was good, and they, you know, like so they supervised all that while also working on the new movies. I'm sure that they also worked on Finding Dory, and anytime, you know, Toy Story 4 comes out, and next year Onward, when that comes out in 3D, there are people that work at Pixar that are like, that's
so
what I, that's what I specialize
you said
in
the word Onward. Are we gonna talk about it? What do we feel?
I heard good things about it. You know why?
I heard there's more to it than meets the eye.
Yes.
Well, that's always the case.
Yes.
But I just...
Not into it?
Not into it.
I'm not into it, but I'm going to see
it.
Well,
yeah, no duh.
For sure. But I'm going to point to this podcast a year from now when it's like your favorite movie. Because they're going to come out with something that's like, well, here's the emotional core. And we'll be like,
here's the deal.
Well, and Soul. Does anyone...
I don't know enough about that.
I know.
But also here's the deal. Like, you like The Good Dinosaur. How are they going to do wrong?
Well, I know. Yeah, I know. But... Even though I say I like The Good Dinosaur,
the subject matter itself, the subject matter of Onward isn't.
Like, I still think they make good films no matter what.
But Onward's subject matter isn't something that's grabbing you.
No,
right off the bat. Yeah, yeah, I get
that. About that magical land right now.
Sure, or the two brothers or whatever. But
yeah,
maybe it's because there's two brothers. Why are we still making two brothers?
It's another good point. It's a very good point.
Listen, to Pixar's credit, I talked about how they covered almost every emotional relationship. We've gotten mother-daughter from Pixar in Brave, which is like rare. I don't get that often.
Yeah. A whole family in Inside Out.
Inside Out.
True.
A whole family in, those are like coworkers, but then a whole family. We get,
whatever the little girl's name is.
Yeah,
parents.
Riley. Riley and her parents. We get, in Finding Nemo, it's obviously father, son. So we get that in Nemo.
Up is a romantic man and woman.
Yes, but also like an old man and a young kid friendship.
True.
Which is, you know, very Hunt for the Wilder People. It's like, okay, we don't have to get that. An old person is the star of, you know, the Pixar movie. It's Carl. Wally's kind of very romantic.
But that's not the primary.
Correct. And then Coco is like another familial thing, a familial thing, but it's like a kid kind of reconnecting with like a long lost, you know, he didn't know that this mentor guy was like a great-great-great-great-grandfather or whatever. So, or great-grandfather. I don't know what the right thing is. But, Keller, finish up with that ranking here.
Yeah.
You need me to...
It died.
I got you. Here we go.
Okay. Where were we?
I don't know. You were just...
You were at Cars 3.
Yeah. I think I might even going to put Cars 3 or...
You Cars said 3 Cars above 3, Cars? Then Monsters University.
I think Cars 3... Monsters University is better than Cars 3, I think.
Okay. So, you're going Cars 3, then Monsters University, then...
Then
now we're in the middle of the road already.
Yeah, and then Cars,
keep going.
And then A Bug's Life.
Yes.
And then,
sadly, there is no Bug's Land anymore, though.
I know.
Cars Land outlived it.
Mm-hmm. That was a good land too. Bug's Land.
And then Cars.
Cars. Okay. Good. Now, okay, we're getting there. What do we got?
How many total are there?
I think there's like 23 or something.
What? Pixar
total?
Movies?
I think so.
And then we have, this is where it is, this is
tough.
The nitty gritty.
Tough.
This is when we put Up.
Yep. I agree.
And then
Wally.
Yep. And then
you're gonna put Ratatouille above both
Ratatouille.
Of those?
Ratatouille.
Keller will.
I will.
I disagree.
And you like it still. You're still okay with it.
Yeah.
You're
fine,
still
it's
okay
fine.
With it.
And an ego. Yeah,
I
it's
would
cool.
rather
it's cool. It's cool.
Watch Ratatouille than Wally or Up.
Yeah. Patton Oswalt.
Rewatchability.
Yeah.
Rewatchability.
There's
so
many factors.
Funny.
There's so many factors at play.
Yeah.
There
and
are
also,
so many factors
remember,
at play.
Keller loves cooking.
Yeah. I do.
My dad loves Ratatouille. My dad normally doesn't like animated movies. Like, that's the special thing about Ratatouille, is it really was able to reach out to people that are like, do you love cook? Do you understand food? This movie's for you. And it's beautiful.
And Hector is my garbage rat.
Yes,
true.
I am. I'll eat
the
anything.
Remy.
I'll eat anything. No, Remy's brother.
Emil.
Oh,
I'm Emil.
Sorry.
Get it? I'm Emil. I have a meal. I'll have a meal, please.
One meal, please. After that, we have...
Say it. Toy Story 2. Say it.
Toy Story 2.
Damn.
It is Toy Story 2.
Damn.
And then I'm even going to say it right now. Toy Story 4.
Fair, 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 fair,
fair, fair, fair, fair, fair,
fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, fair, I feel like this is already frightened. It's already top tier. How many do we have
this
left?
This is top tier. We're in the top tier.
This is A+.
We've just entered in the top tier.
Oh, my God.
We've just entered the upper echelon.
Oh, my God, dude. We're in the stratosphere right now, dog.
I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
If you just get a camera on his mouth and then echelon. Do those ASMR videos,
echelon.
You'll get so many
more. Then we have, in my opinion,
The Incredibles.
The Incredibles. Fuck. And then we have Toy Story 3.
Okay. I know you're going to say Coco next.
And then we have The Incredibles 2.
Whoa, bro. I'm already so happy that you left Coco.
And then we have Toy Story.
Mm-hmm. Bro, I'm already...
And then we have Coco.
And then what's the top tier?
Is
that it?
No,
you put Coco at the top?
Oh, just kidding. Monsters, Inc. and then Coco. Monsters, Inc. and then Finding Nemo.
No, you
missed
Inside Out.
No,
I put Inside
Out. He did.
When?
Inside Out is where we enter the top tier.
Yeah.
That's where we enter the upper echelon. I said it. I don't know if you heard me earlier, but I said...
I think I was looking at your tongue too much.
Again, Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc., Coco, Toy Story 3, The Incredibles or Incredibles 2. All of these to me are like, any one of those could be the best one.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's just like the MCU. If you tell me Black Panther, if you tell me Thor Ragnarok, if you tell me the first Iron Man movie, if you tell me the first Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy 1... Each one of those five could be their best movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, yeah.
For widely different reasons.
Yeah, totally. You make a strong case. Man, the beauty of Pixar. Incredible. The
beauty of Pixar. Fuck
my
you, John
Lasseter. My top four, Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc., Inside Out, Coco.
I love it.
But I could. Beautiful. Coco could come before. I don't know.
Listen, yeah, Coco.
It doesn't have to be in order.
My favorite used to be Toy Story 3. And then since Toy Story 3, I think I've been like, I think Incredibles is actually my favorite. The first Incredibles. Then Incredibles 2 came out, and I'm like, well, Incredibles 2 is up there. But it was Coco. When I saw Coco, I had no choice but to put that
you were crying
number one.
When
opening
the castle
Disney
came up.
Logo with the mariachi music, I'm crying, and I'm like,
you didn't even see the movie. You had tears in your eyes the whole time.
Oh, my God. It's too much. It's
too
much.
It was the third viewing before you actually saw the animation.
Yes, everything else was just this. Eyes closed going,
recuérdame.
Yeah, could not even. Oh, shit. That's a great movie. We have talked the entirety of this podcast about the film itself,
which
about
is
the 3D.
So rare.
So rare. And about
Pixar.
I'm trying
to convert those one stars.
I love this. No, this is... No, keep it one star.
They are long gone.
They're long gone.
They left their shitty review and bailed.
This has been one of my favorite episodes so far just because of everything up to this point. But now I want to really quickly... I mean, I don't want to rush you because this is an important thing, Chelsea, but you are part of the Two Timers Club. You get to pick a second movie to go on the list of the 500 greatest movies of all time. Now, I've said this in the past.
What was your first pick?
Your first pick last year, Moana.
Yes.
Yeah.
Moana.
So good.
Which is, like you said, one of the Disney movies that took over on the emotion front.
Yep. Right.
Because that one will punch you.
Mm-hmm. And Pixar was
right up top.
Pixar was like, we'll do an Incredibles 2. And it's like, that's fun.
Pretty emotional.
But
kind of not as emotional.
Yeah, but
in fact, he knows he's a bad dad and a husband.
Yeah. He's got problems.
Learning to be a man.
The
60s.
So I've said this before, and most of the time I never mean it, but if you wanted to pick the movie that we watched tonight, you could. And I'll say that to guests, and I'll be kind of like, please don't pick the movie we watched. Like, you know,
right,
give us something
like
more interesting. Yeah, give
us
some.
That's the first one that came to my mind for some reason. Bad taste.
But like, Pixar.
Yes, but
this is our first Pixar movie.
It is. Is it?
Well,
it is.
Okay.
Or did we do Toy Story 2? No, we haven't done Toy Story 2.
No, no Toy Stories yet.
I did just start thinking though, because.
Ooh, now your brain's moving. Okay, just give us what. Talk us through what you're thinking.
If I get the pleasure of returning every year for the next 8 years,
duh.
That means I could move Finding Nemo up on the list.
Well, here's the deal.
Oh,
here's
you
the deal.
Don't rank them?
Correct. This
oh,
is not ranked.
Okay.
We're
okay,
not saying, hey, you need to pick a movie that you think should be number 400 and so. Don't worry about that.
No.
Because Keller picked, Keller and I,
yeah,
Empire of the Sun, Hot Rod, like right off the bat. We're like,
number one.
And those are
at this rate,
high up there.
Jurassic Park is number 500. That's bad.
That's bad. That's bad. Real bad.
Oh, right.
So it's not ranked. We'll,
so then that
you know,
does kind of reinforce my decision.
Which is?
Everybody, Hector, clear your throat real fast. Thanks.
Baby Dory would like to announce that Finding Nemo will stay on the list.
Yes, thank God.
Yes.
Thank God.
Oh, there's a cat. Baby.
And it should.
I agree.
And it should. Finding Nemo belongs on the list.
God, this movie's so good.
How do we get Finding that Nemo, Rotten Tomatoes 99% to 100?
Yeah, like, don't worry about it.
Oh.
Don't worry
I think about Finding it. Nemo is honestly like when Pixar, they took it. Mm-hmm. Like it's next. Well,
it is. Here's what I'll say. Toy Story was the first one, and in so many ways, it's next level for everything that came before it. But Finding Nemo is
the colorful at
once,
world that it built.
Oh my God! Well, it at once
the storytelling
is
too.
The storytelling. It's everything you guys are saying. It's also so clever. It takes real world scientific facts mm-hmm. about this world.
You're constantly
and fish.
Learning about marine biology.
Yeah. And they use that to inform their storytelling. They use that to inform the characterizations of certain fish and certain characters. Like they use those little fun facts to like to help inform, you know, this little crab squid thing is going to be cleaning constantly. Oui, Jacques, you know, he's cleaning and this fish is going to act this way and this fish is going to act that way. But it is at times all at once clever. It is a thrill ride. It is emotional. And it's like nailing all of those things at the same exact time.
So good.
Not a wasted frame.
It's
in
a
this
perfect movie.
It is a perfect movie.
It's a perfect movie. 10 out of 10. I'm going to give it 10 out of 10.
No such movie is perfect. But like if we list off a handful of movies that have ever been made as perfect movies, Finding Nemo should be up there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I'd rather watch it than The Godfather.
Me too, dude. You know why? Godfather ain't in 3D. But mainly Finding Nemo itself.
What if they put The Godfather in 3D?
It'd be very
like
good.
That the wedding Godfather would be fucking
fishes.
Nuts.
What if The Godfather was fishes? You
I
have
think
Shark
that's
Tale.
Shark Tale.
It's Shark Tale.
Yeah, that is Shark Tale.
I don't think I've
right.
seen that.
Martin Scorsese he's the pufferfish.
Yeah.
It's actually real bad. Godfather
is fellas, I guess, than anything.
Well, mm-hmm. It's not fishies, but they're The Godfather in Zootopia. The little moles.
Oh, those are funny.
That's funny.
And then the good feathers.
Oh, Zootopia. That's Zootopia. Also another one where they switched.
Yeah. Yeah, Zootopia was awesome.
Zootopia. I got to rewatch Zootopia. I didn't have Zootopia.
Zootopia Land's coming to Shanghai.
Ooh, let's go.
Okay.
Let's go to Shanghai. Let's go to Disney
there's
Shanghai.
So many okay. cool things.
That's awesome.
They need to cut it out with all these cool things.
I know. There's so many things.
New Ratatouille ride in Florida.
Oh, I'm not going to Florida.
I'm not going to Florida.
They can keep it.
They can.
I'm
hey,
going there.
Keep
Come
it.
On.
Yeah. Sorry.
Come on.
Okay, let's
I'm kidding,
go to Florida.
I'll go.
We'll airdrop into Disney World and then get them to take us out, so we don't have to ever step foot on actual Florida soil.
It's only Disneyland.
Yeah. Oh my! And we lost our 70 Florida listeners just then. We lost them.
Oh
I'm
my
sorry.
God.
No.
Just the humidity. Oh,
you know what? You know what I love about Floridians? Here's what I love about people from Florida. First of all, they're Floridians. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
a
fun
weird
to say.
Sounding
say
thing.
It.
Floridians.
Midichlorians?
Mm-hmm. It's like that. It sounds like that. Here's what I love about anybody I've ever met from Florida is they're self-deprecating first. Is they'll be the first ones to be like, yeah, man, I'm from Florida.
But the beaches are good.
I got to get out of there.
But you alligators.
On, I did Florida. Meet someone today from Miami, and he does not like beaches.
What?
He doesn't?
No.
Weird.
What?
Yeah, that's a bummer for him.
I don't either. Too much sand.
Mm. I just know I've been getting eaten alive by mosquitoes the past couple, and I feel
they're
like...
They're getting better?
They're getting better. Yeah, I know. They're coming apart.
I told you to not do that. They're going to get infected and you're going to get West.
I've stopped. But we're family.
We're a family.
We don't have friends.
And you haven't even watched fucking
Family.
Fast and Furious yet.
I'm so
we'll get
sorry.
To it. We'll get to it. It's okay. It's okay. We're not mad.
It's okay.
Just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
What do we do? We swim.
People from Florida know mosquitoes way more than we do. They have to deal with that. Mosquitoes are they're the rolled doll over there.
Oh my God, they really are the rolled doll.
Yeah, that's right. Willy Wonka. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy also that Finding Nemo is on the list. Keller, what are we
good
watching
addition.
Next week and who's our guest going to be?
Next week we are watching Heathers.
Heathers.
With Clark Wolf.
Yes, Clark Wolf is going to be coming back.
I've never
back.
Seen this movie.
I've never seen it
I've
either.
I've seen the musical version on, or not on Broadway, off Broadway.
Exciting. Really?
It was very fun.
I
never made it to Broadway.
I've heard a lot of great things about the movie, Winona Ryder. I've heard it's a classic. It is also streaming right now on Netflix and on Hulu. So go get that. It's also, I think, on like Hoopla. So it's streaming on all of those right now. You can go watch Heather's and then come back next week. And our guest is going to be Clark Wolf returning. She watched Scream with us last year. It was a great episode. So it's going to be real exciting to watch.
Which just got added to the list recently.
Yes, it did, by Perry Nemiroff, which is awesome. Really cool. We'll mention that, of course. We'll talk to Clark about that. But again, Chelsea, any final word on Finding Nemo coming from you? Or Dory, or Pixar, or whatever you want. Go
or
for
just
it.
Anything in the world.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
And is there anything that you would like to point people to? Any projects or anything like that online?
If you can't tell, I'm rolling my eyes.
Getting a lot of eye rolls. Very humble.
Final thought.
Yes.
I just think, I don't know. I have the art of Pixar. Not the... I don't know. It was the color of Pixar. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And you can flip through and see all of it.
Former guest, Catherine Leon.
Mm-hmm. Pop culture phenomenon.
Pop culture phenomenon.
I can't not say that.
It's because that's what she is.
It's just gorgeous. And I think seeing it over and over again just reiterates the beauty in that art form. And I think going back to Spider-Verse, which is also another one of my favorite films now, mm-hmm. just like how underrated it is, and we've went all over the spectrum on what's involved in these types of films, and it's just crazy. So anyone who's a doubter of animation being like best picture should just shut their fucking mouth.
Honestly, shut your that? Fucking mouth.
Do you hear that?
Shut your fucking mouth.
Again, shout out to Chelsea's family who's certainly listening. You guys are great, lovely people, lovely folks. But yeah, I agree with everything you said, Chelsea. Is this is not just director Andrew Stanton, who is phenomenal, and I love his movies, but it is this incredible team at Pixar, these incredible teams that work on these animated films. The collaboration is amazing. You see every ounce of effort and artistry up on the screen. Wonderful.
We just need more women.
Yes.
More women.
Come on, raise us up.
More women in animation.
More women in animation.
Raise me. Sorry, I don't know why I'm singing. You're sleepy.
It's late.
I hate karaoke, and I've sung off key all throughout this.
What about if somebody queued up a song and it was
that's
like
that's not a hymn, by the way. That's Josh Groban.
Yeah, I think Josh Groban used to sing hymns all the time.
Not
what
that
if
song.
The screen came up and it was like somewhere do 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 do. Would you want to sing that? Beyond the sea.
I can't sing though, so that's the thing.
Okay.
I wish I could.
Thank you so much for watching this with us in the middle of the week, watching it in 3D, watching Finding Nemo with us, and sharing with us your
thanks for introducing 3D to me in this way.
Thank you.
Thanks for building our relationship as our family and helping us build our relationship, me and Keller. Mm.
I was really afraid I was going to cry during the recording of this, for real.
Why?
Because
you're
movie,
tired?
No. Because this movie's so emotional and so beautiful, and then we would have started talking about stuff we love, and I would have been like...
The one point I did cry, though, was Dory's line. That's so good. Yeah. Hector was crying at the beginning when everyone... Yep. Like, it is devastating, but I think I've become a little desensitized.
And I cry at the end when Marlin and Nemo reunite, and then again Nemo tells him like, I can do this, and he goes, you're right, I know you can. That part I'm like, that's it, that's the movie. Or when Dory's like, you gotta let go. Like, oof, that's the movie. And he goes, you can't, you think you can do these things, but you just can't, Nemo. Oh shit,
Dory's not Nemo.
What is happening?
Nori? We're still talking about this movie. Nori's not Nemo either.
Yeah. Peanut
but
Nor.
No, it's just too good. We can't stop talking
too
about
good.
It.
Too good. All right, let's wrap it out because Keller, we got to do a thing. So we are calling it. Guys, go watch Heather's. We'll see you next week. You guys are the best. Go watch Finding Nemo. See you later. Bye.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. What do? We swim, my love, to swim.